first section, which we could notice from verse, you might say verse 11 to verse 13, is a contrast of the Lord Jesus as a shepherd compared to what we would call hired help. The shepherd compared to the hired help is very noticeable because the hired help does not have a personal interest in the sheep. The shepherd does. And there might be some thoughts on that. The good shepherd cares that he, to the extent that he would give his life for the sheep. The hireling would much rather see the sheep perish than to give his own life. He sees the wolf coming on a distance and he takes off because he's only his only link to the sheep is his paycheck. There's no part relationship with these sheep. The Lord Jesus is not that way. There's no temporary relationship with him. It's a permanent and lasting relationship where he has already given his life for the sheep. And then we see further, after that next section, after the first section, we see other ways in which he continues to care for the sheep. So the relationship begins with what he's already done, and then we will develop further thoughts about what he continues to do for the sheep.
But the emphasis here, though, is strictly on the good shepherd, is it not? The good shepherd, not so much the character of the great shepherd. The great shepherd character you get in Psalm 23, right? The day-to-day constant care and interest of the sheep. But in John 10 is more like Psalm 22 character. The good shepherd is seen as acting in love to secure the sheep at all cost, against the hireling who only cares for the sheep on the basis of, as you said, how much money I can make. But I think we have to emphasize here the matter of the laying down of the life seems to be the premise on which the good shepherd operates. He wants to lay down his life. He wants to put it out there because he has one objective, and that is to secure the sheep for himself.
And again, in the Gospel of John, in every chapter, we see the greatness of Christ. And I don't want to go through the whole book, but if in chapter 9 he was greater than Moses, when you come to chapter 10, he's greater than David, who was the shepherd that went to rescue the sheep, almost laying down his life for the sheep.
The good shepherd will always seek out a lost sheep. He will always seek out any who may have been close to him and may have drifted away. Not necessarily really lost, but just drifted away. The good shepherd will seek them out to return them to the flock. And he will give his life in order to do that. You know, we're not asked to give our lives for anyone. And I ask myself, would I die for someone? Well, for a good man, I might even dare to die, but no, I'm not the Lord. The Lord gave his life for the sheep. He seeks them out. He died for them, and he will never forsake them. So the sheep have this security, you know. We've been talking about security this morning, and we have that security in the Lord. We may drift from him. We may wander far away, as sheep do. Sheep are not always the brightest. They wander away in a natural way. But the Lord will seek us out. He will never forsake us. There isn't anyone else who so willingly went and sought out the sheep and died for them. No one else on earth would do that, but the Lord has done that and continues to seek us out. You know, you may travel to the ends of the world, but if you're saved, the Lord will be with you. And if you're wandering away, he, if you allow him to do it, will bring you back. Sometimes the sheep resist, you know. They want to stay away. No, that's not for the true believer. We want to be where the Lord is. We want to be where his people are. We want to be where he delights to join with them and be with them and be part of them. That is his delight. And we want to be there too. We want to be where he is. And he will bring us there if we allow him to do it.
Might say that the description of the shepherd needs to be noted, and that is good shepherd. there were those in Ezekiel, which I believe it's in Ezekiel, where it speaks of the shepherd who only fattened themselves and left everybody else lean. Well, you made the comparison and you see why he's good. Also, it struck me that it brings to mind that the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the good shepherd, is God. If you remember, they said, "Good master, what shall we do? Why callest me thou good? Seeing that there is only one that's good, and that is God." And so here we have that he is saying it of himself, and he has all authority to say it of himself, that "I am the good shepherd." And so we find the description is so great, where it speaks to that he is good. Now, why is he good? Because he lays down his life. Not by force, but voluntarily. And that's why later on it says, "My Father loves me because I lay it down." And so that's why the description is so great. It says, "I am the good shepherd. The Father loves me, not because someone forced me to lay down my life, but that because I do it of my own self voluntarily."
You might say that although I truly believe 100% that the good shepherd lays his life, and that's what happened on Calvary, but I like the thought between verses 9, 10, and 11. You might think, why would the Spirit of God bring the thought of his shepherd after he introduces himself as, "I am the door"? In verse 9, you will find three things that will happen to the person. There's salvation, there's liberty, and there's satisfaction. And that's the result of verse 9. But now the believer who enters into that door also will recognize that after that, there's satisfaction, there's salvation, there's freedom, yet there's an enemy. Because the following verse, speaks about the thief cometh not. So there's the thief. There's those that will desire to come to kill and to destroy. And what happens sometimes, a person gets saved, they put their trust in Christ, and then they would recognize later on there's a conflict. There's an enemy of our souls who will keep harping upon us so that again we will wander from Christ. But here comes the thought of the shepherd. "I am the good shepherd. Regardless what the wolf might do, regardless of what the thief might do, I am the good shepherd. I laid my life for you and I'm willing to keep you." It gives the sense of the security again, that the good shepherd will make sure that soul is secured in him and kept from all the attacks of the thief and the wolf. So what is the feature? First of all, he's willing to lay down his life, as we have heard. But there's other features. It says, "I am the good shepherd," the second time in verse 14, "and know my sheep." It is the shepherd's quality, is someone who has the knowledge of every single one of us. And that's the beauty of the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John is very prominent with Christ Jesus meeting the needs of different individuals. And the Lord desired to have relationships and fellowship with each one of us individually and also collectively. And it says, "and I'm known of mine." Brandon, this is the quality of a good shepherd, where the sheep know who is the true, genuine shepherd that is leading them. And what a wonderful thing. None of us could argue that point. We are here today acknowledging that Christ Jesus is the good shepherd and we are his sheep.
And I think you have the double protection.
Yes.
Because if it's a question of a thief, he is the door. Because that's what protects from the thief. The thief tried to go, so then you have the door. That's verse 9. The remedy for the thief in verse 10 is the door in verse 9. The remedy for the wolf in verse 11 is the good shepherd in verse 10, who is the one that laid down his life to protect the sheep. So he is, you have double protection and double security, and we'll see it later on, but here from the Lord Jesus as the door to protect you from one who's trying to steal, the thieves are trying to steal, and from the wolf who's trying to kill and destroy.